We'll call the meeting to order for the Solid Waste and Recycling Technical Working Group through CBAC on Monday, October 19th, 2015 at 3 p.m. And roll call, please. All
right. City of Blythe, Cathedral City, Coachella,
present.
Desert Hot Springs,
present.
Indian Wells, Indio,
here.
La Quinta,
present.
Palm Desert,
here.
Palm Springs,
here.
Rancho Mirage,
here.
Riverside County Waste Management Department is absent. We do have a quorum.
And Pledge of Allegiance. Benjamin, will you lead us?
Certainly. Place your hand over your heart and repeat after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And at this time, do we have public comments? Anyone from the audience? Moving on then to item 5, committee member and director comments, and we'll start at the far end of the table for committee member comments and roundtable discussion.
Okay, good afternoon. Yeah, from City Ranch, Rancho Mirage. Pretty much what we've been up to is we had a shredding event in May, and then we also have one coming up November 7th. And then we're also working with BurbTech on gearing up for 1826 for the organics. So we'll spend some good time with that. And that's those items.
Are there any other events that you can think of that are upcoming besides those? The shred event and then waste? Any other
we got our art affair coming up, which promote a lot of recycling there. So that's November 7th and the 8th.
Okay.
But as far as recycling and trash, that's pretty much it. Shredding event coming up.
I think that's your theme this year, Long Fence, and you've evolved art.
Jazz to recycle.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about that.
You're jazzed.
We are jazzed.
Thank you.
You bet.
Hi, good afternoon. Marz Martinez, City of Coachella. The last community cleanup we had was October 10th, and it was basically did all bulky items, green waste, electronic waste. Had a very good turnout for that one. We've been doing these about quarterly, so this will be the last one for the year, and then we have a HHW event scheduled on November 14th, and we combine that with our shred event. Outside of that, we do have some community events, but they're not really focused at recycling. We've got the Ramos Los Huertos, which is a 5K, and then we have our holiday events, the tree lighting and the parade.
Sarah Toyota with the City of Indio. We've had a couple of events, oil and tire events, in September, but upcoming, we're having another one. On November 14th, we're having a tire collection in partnership with CBAG, as well as...
We'll discuss that.
Okay, baby. E-waste and an oil collection event. The last oil collection event, gosh, I think we got around, I want to say, 300 gallons of oil. It's pretty good turnout. We'll see how this one goes. We just had a shredding event. Andrew Smith from CalRecycle did come by and visit the city last week. He seems pretty happy with what's going on, not just at the city, but in this area in general, but just a heads up that he did come by.
Cool. I had a visit from one of the compliance officers also for the used tire program.
But oh, did you?
He didn't have any problems with it. He just asked for a manifest of one of the events and gave it to him. It was fine. It was good.
Oh, well, that's good.
Andrew?
Yes.
Monty?
On to you.
Frankie Riddle, Palm Desert.
A few months back, we implemented a medical prescription take-back program through our sheriff's department. That program used to be handled through the DEA, but then I think some of us probably got that notice where it initially said that they weren't going to do it anymore, and so on and so forth. Well, we worked with our sheriff's department and implemented a program. So they have a box over there that's ongoing, so residents can take their prescription medical waste over there and drop it off. And as of, this is October, I'll just say September, for about 4 months worth of the program, we took back 156 pounds of prescription drugs. So yeah, it was pretty good. A lot. I wasn't even thinking it'd be that much. But anyway, so, and then upcoming, we have a used oil recycle event that's going to be held at Napa. It's going to be on Saturday, November 7th from 8 to 11 a.m. And then we do have another shredding event coming on Friday and Saturday, November 20th and 21st from 7:30 to 11:30. Now, that's typically for our residents, but we'll be out there. That's it.
Thank you. Michelle, my city in Palm Springs. We also do the med waste and the sharps containers that we give away to our residents, and they pick those up at City Hall or at any of the fire departments. And the drop off for the med waste is there as well. And our shredding and e-waste event, the most recent one was last weekend. We're doing another one December 12th, and we do those four times a year now. So that's electronic waste and shredding. We also have the 24-hour electronic waste where people do drop off a lot of things, but they don't have any assistance. So what they like about the events is that someone will help them get it all out of their car, and it's during our fall and spring cleanup times when the disposal service allows people to drop large items off curbside. Some other interesting news is we started working on an app called Waste No Food through our Waste Subcommittee, and as we all remember, the citrus collection programs were super popular and people loved doing that, and then they stopped. So this app allows, it's not just for citrus, it's for any food that a large-scale vendor might have left over from catering or, say, grocery, something like that. They can register on the app. They can say, hey, got 12 cases of mangoes available, don't need them. Well in the Desert could be registered as well and give an alert. Oh, hey, I better go. I want 5 of those cases. I'll send someone to go and pick them up. So that app is kind of in, what's that mode? Beta.
Oh, beta
testing. It's in beta mode. And we're kind of working on it. And I'm really excited because it was our Waste Subcommittee through Sustainability that contacted this teenager that basically came up with this app and is testing it with fine grouping. So it's pretty neat. And then we are working on our zero waste plan. It feels like it's taking forever to get that done. But we are looking at a zero waste resolution that was passed through the U.S. Conference of Mayors. We're looking at that tomorrow night at our Sustainability Commission meeting and reviewing it to consider bringing that to City Council to just endorse it along with the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Last exciting thing, we're all familiar, I hope we're all familiar with the Riverside County HHW that's located off Bella Road. They are looking to add a restore, like a reuse store, and they are looking for funding and how they're going to go about doing it, but it is something they've already got drawings for, and they are looking at adding to that location. So just wanted to share that with you, that I've been contacted by Elizabeth Thompson from Riverside County to do that and to assist them with whatever funding we can. That's all I have.
Ted Shove, City of La Quinta. Next month, November 21st, we'll have a shred event and an HHW event. We're currently working through some planning for community cleanup events and looking to put together a C&D ordinance for council consideration sometime between now and the end of the year.
Desert House Greens, this is Danny Boros. We have our quarterly cleanup, citywide cleanup, next week. It's a week long. We work with Desert Ride Disposal. We do that every quarter. Also, every resident has 4 times of bulk get and pick up. Pretty much all the only update for our city.
So, we'll move on. Anyone else think of anything? If not, we'll move on to the consent calendar. Item 6A, the approval of the February 9th, 2015 solid waste twig minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented?
So moved.
I'll second Sparrow. And second by Sparrow.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And then minutes pass. Item 7A. The most exciting item, Ben.
Hopefully. So it's that time. We need a new president. Who to chair president of the working group? Do we have any nominations? For
I vote to leave Michelle as the chair.
Didn't expect that, did you?
Sure.
Not part of your plan. Okay. Okay. Any other suggestions or agreements on that?
Sarah,
No, actually not. Really, if you're happy there, I'm supporting.
How about Sarah as a vice chair?
Don't you have to do that in order, or does that just cut pass as a slate? Or
you do that.
just counter in and win. No.
I accept.
Okay, so do we vote then for? Yes. Okay, do we have a nomination for vice chair, or do we have a recommendation to keep?
I would like to nominate Ms. Toyota for the vice chair.
There you go. That's what I was waiting for. Okay.
Unless someone else is younger,
is there? Do we have a motion for that? Michelle is the chair, and Sarah Toyota from India is the vice chair.
So moved.
And a second.
Second.
All right. So be it.
Wait, do we have to vote?
Yeah.
Well, no, so be it. No,
so be it. You should vote.
Okay, go ahead.
You have just all in favor.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
The motion is unanimous.
I was so excited because I knew it was, meant to be.
Moving on to item 7B. I'd just like to get it done now. We have Kevin Sales here from KJ Services to give us our tire recycling update, item 7B. I think your AB is ready. No, not so much yet. Very close.
What's yours first? Okay. Madam Chair, may I pass out some handouts?
Please do. If Ben says yes, it's just...
Okay.
Michelle,
I didn't have four when you were...
Might be good though is if maybe if we have what I used to do with Jacob, maybe we should get together with Benjamin, and maybe we can before we meet, everyone can get together and think of things that they'd like to see on the agenda for the year because that does help to build the agenda.
We should do that.
And then that way it's not all. No, just like a few of us. Because that's what I used to do with Jacob. Is just get together and just go things
like
that we see
advice.
That are going to be coming up or that might be of interest for us so we can start.
It's been a little thin this year. We only had the two meetings, and I was gone on one of them. So, we'll try to get that.
I mean, I'll be willing to participate in that.
Okay.
But that's perfect.
Okay.
That sounds awesome. Mr. Sales, sorry to keep you waiting.
No, not at all.
Do you think we can talk about the next meeting? Do we find the necessity to have one? And I want to do it as like comments just for God.
We can do it in announcements.
Okay, as long as people don't leave.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right, my name is Kevin Sales, KJ Services. Some of you know me. Benjamin asked me to come and just sort of give a quick overview of the tire grant, the last one, the next one, where things are at. So I just have a couple of slides here for you, nothing too terrible. The first slide there, I think that's the winner for the most tires per cubic foot vehicle capacity from the last go round.
Hello?
Hi, Heidi.
I have Heidi.
Oh.
Can I transfer her in?
Sure.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
No problem. If you want to do her first, I can wait.
No.
She'll just listen in.
Are you there, Heidi?
I am.
Okay, cool.
We have another presentation right before you, so if you feel free to listen in.
Great, thanks.
Okay, well, to continue on, basically what I wanted to do is just to recap the last cycle of tire grants or tire grants that we had. You may recall the last grant, the CDEG only received the funding towards the tail end, so we only had a relatively short time to do it. There were 11 events over basically, 5 months. And you can see the particulars there. by city and number of participants and number of tires and tonnage collected. This was our best event or best series of events of the four cycles, well, at that time the three cycles that CBAG had done, collected almost 5,800 tires to the tune of nearly 82 tons. We continue to have greater participation on the east end of the valley, as you might imagine. The Indio events, both of those were quite successful. It was interesting to note the second event in March didn't have the most number of tires, but it had the highest tonnage. It had a lot of big tires at that event. Had a really good Coachella event. That was when Jacob had been able to make a connection with the local TV station. Had a lot of great coverage at that event, and as you can see, brought the participants out. So basically, a series of good events all over on the valley for the most part. Good event in La Quinta at the Home Depot there. Palm Springs was one of the cleanups, a very successful cleanup event. Not a lot of tires that day, but a lot of folks coming into the cleanup. And Coachella went out to Blythe, 1,000 Palms. The one there, Indio Hills, that was in conjunction with a county cleanup that was happening out there. So we did a tire collection component as part of that as well. So that's sort of a recap there of our last go-around. The next slide, just very quickly. Benjamin and I just had some initial discussions about where we might want to go with this next cycle. The grant calls for 11 events, basically. And the fortunate thing about this time through is we have a much larger window. The grant goes until June of 2017, so we're not nearly as rushed. So basically, we're just kicking around some locations based upon what we've done before. These are not in any particular order, as far as this wouldn't be necessarily the flow of them. But Desert Hot Springs, and also maybe doing something there that also targets Sky Valley, a little bit east of the city. Two in Coachella, again, always very good event locations. Another event in Blythe, though this time we had a lot of interest. We've had a good amount of interest. I don't know if a lot is a good word for Desert Center, but we've had interest out there. They have an ongoing problem with tires. We had one lady who actually came into Coachella at one of our events, specifically to ask about the possibility of doing an event in the Desert Center. So kicking around the idea on the Blythe event, sort of dropping off a box, and maybe a staff person, maybe even unstaffed, there in Desert Center collecting the tires as part of that. We have down tentatively two in Palm Desert, only because it works really well with the cleanup event.
We only have one cleanup, though, annually.
I know, this is over 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, this would be April 16, April 7.
Right, okay.
Yeah, okay. Indio doing two events, another one hopefully in Thousand Palms or Action Mirage, La Quinta event again, and then also perhaps doing an event in Mecca. We get a lot of travel up from Mecca at the Coachella event, and also we may get some of the sort of a little further down the road Coachella folks there as well. So that's kind of the tentative, and we'll be working on more specifics as far as dates and things like that, but that's sort of the feel for what we're going at. If your city is not listed there and you really want to have a tire event, I'm sure that we can make that happen as well. But this was just kind of the first cut of it. Just a couple of quick things based upon what's happened over the last couple of events. That is keys to success at these. The first key to success is city participation. Not necessarily on the day of the event on the ground, but actually on the lead up. The cities that have been more involved with helping promote through the city website, through quarterly publications, email blasts, that sort of thing, obviously we have greater results. There's a possibility, I think you guys have discussed it in past meetings, there's a possibility that these MSD day grants may go away or may move towards going away. So we don't know, but this may be one of the last shots we have at it. So I'd love to see us really have a terrific return this time through. Also, the other notes there under city participation, supportive media outreach. Again, if you have any contacts that we can take advantage of to really help get the word out for the events, that obviously is something that's always welcome. And then lastly, staffing community resources. This is not particularly city staffing, but if you have any community groups, volunteer groups, volunteers, other groups that you work with on environmental events, good connections with the local high school, adult school, things like that, that we might be able to partner with for staffing at some of these events. Normally we can staff them in-house. Some of the larger ones do get a little frantic, so it's always nice that a few extra people there. Also, date selection. The reason no dates put together at this point is I'm hoping to get input from the cities on when you think good dates might be. For example, if you have Desert Hot Springs, for example, hearing you talk about the quarterly cleanups, maybe doing a tire event might go really well in conjunction with one of those quarterly cleanups. If you have major city events that are coming up that would be good lead-ins for events, maybe something happening a week or two beforehand that we could promote the event at so people are aware of it, build that awareness. Rather than just me arbitrarily pick a date off a calendar, I'd love to see how we can make it work best with what else is happening in the community. Also, I have down here tire collection as part of a larger community event. Again, that would be if there was a cleanup event opportunity, something like that going on. And then also, too, if there are weekends to avoid. For example, again, Desert Hot Springs, our last event there happened to be on the weekend when the holiday parade, the Christmas parade, was going on, which basically cut the city in half, so it made it very difficult to get across to where the collection event was happening. So obviously, we want to avoid that in the future. And then the last thing is location. We've always had really good opportunities with our current locations, but if you have another location in your city that you'd like to try, which you think might work well, Home Depot has been very supportive in Indio and in La Quinta and some other places, but always open to any location suggestions you might have. Particularly for the cities that are having two, like Indio and Coachella, maybe we've always done it at the same place, maybe there might be an opportunity to try to do separate locations to better address the residents. It's something to think about at least. So anyway, that was just some quick thoughts here. Last slide here is just my contact information, and I just wanted to show you the picture. You guys aren't the only guys with large tires. These were actually some tires that, because of the drought, became visible from Lake Elsinore. These were underwater Lake Elsinore, and then when the drought came, they're all now on the surface. So Lake Elsinore is doing a cleanup. These things weigh about 1,000 pounds apiece, so it's been very interesting. Tire collection down that way. Fortunately, none of those roll into our event. So,
yeah, I was going to say, how'd you load those up?
Yeah. Now, anyway, that's my summary of my report. If there's any questions we haven't tried to ask them for you, if not, thank you very much.
I guess it's not necessarily a question for you, but since we have had grant funds to do the tire cleanup, and we're not quite sure if they're going to continue, it's appearing that they might reallocate the funding for other things. Part of what the committee might need to consider in the future is how we can keep the program going, because I don't think that need is going to stop. We don't have to worry about it in the next year or so, it sounds like, but soon in the scheme of things.
E-waste.
We use those funds for all of our roads, but are those funds still coming in for your jurisdiction? Any other questions for Kevin about the tire recycling or the statistics or participation?
I guess I do have one. I didn't see it on there, but maybe I wasn't looking. Since we've implemented the program, has there been a steady increase in the number of participants and the number of tires recycled? I mean, I hear that it has, but consistently?
There has. Well, not consistently. The very first cycle we did, which was, I believe, 2011, really good turnout. Second cycle that CBAC did, the numbers were down slightly. And then they were back up again this time, because there had been about a year, year and a half. I was kind of surprised that over the short period of time our numbers stayed as high as they were, because sometimes when you have an event and then another one a month later, you know, you don't necessarily have the same demand.
Right.
So I think it's staying up. You know better than I, but even my time down here in the desert, I don't have to drive very far to find tires. So it seems like the issue is ongoing. I think if we do, those people who care will load them up and bring them down.
Right. And I do like the thought of placing bins, whether they're unmanned or not, in strategic locations for people, because maybe if they're out there, instead of throwing them
out on the vacant lot, they'll put them in the bin, which would be better.
I agree. My only issue with it is with the Desert Center is I'm not a fan of unmanned because then you get everything.
Everything.
But I agree. If you have one out there and it's kind of like a self-serve sort of thing, you can maximize your collection across a wider area, certainly.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks again.
To accommodate more people. That's what we're trying to do.
Okay, so I've been alerted that we're going to have a change in the agenda, so we're just going to revise the agenda and move one of our speakers up. Item C will become item D, and item D will become C. Heidi Sanborn with the California Product Stewardship Council is on the line for us for what does Supreme Court Alameda ruling mean for EPR and the waste industry, or if EPR is
extended producer
responsibility. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Gosh, I haven't talked to you in a long time.
I know. Years now.
Yeah, I was just looking back, and it looks like the resolution you adopted was in
2009. Yep, when I was still doing.
You were first started. So thank you so much for having me. It's been, I wish I could be there in person. It's just way too busy right now to leave Sacramento. Everything's going on, and you'll know more about that when I get into the presentation. But and I want to thank Ben very much. He's been staying on this all year, trying to figure out how to which agenda to get me on. So thank you, Benjamin, for that.
Yeah.
So what I was going to talk about was the Supreme Court ruling on Alameda's first producer responsibility ordinance at a local level in the country, and Pharma challenged it all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they lost, which means local governments won. And so what I wanted to give you an update on was, you know, what's going on at the Product Stewardship Council, the fact that we've expanded now, we have a new national organization, a sister organization, but all this action that's going on in California, which is now empowered local governments to actually pass rules to make producers pay and share in these expenses for end of life of their products, especially that are hazardous or dangerous, as you'll see when I get into this court ruling, and that you can now take the reins. You don't have to wait for the state or the federal government or the industry to act, which is unique in the United States that we can do that. Other countries don't. So with that, I'll ask Ben to go to the next slide, since I don't have it up in front of me. It's just a picture of me, so you know who's talking. This mystery voice on the phone. and I'll be presenting in actually Canada, the top picture, just last week. It was in Banff, Canada, speaking to the Canadian Stewardship Conference, where they've had producer-run programs for 18 years now that are running everything from oil, tires, pesticides, smoke detectors, gas cylinders, and in British Columbia, there's more than that, but in British Columbia, they expect to have almost every product under a producer-run program by 2020. So we're actually behind our other industrialized countries. So the next slide. Basically, I was just, again, going to talk about the California situation becoming the driver for extended producer responsibility throughout the U.S. And it really is the epicenter of local governments. Because if you recall, we formed the Product Stewardship Council because the state was banning universal waste from disposal in landfills, and it drove kind of outrage that, you know, it's a ban without a plan. There was no plan for recovering these things or providing any funding, and it left all the 530-some-odd jurisdictions on their own to just figure it out and then be responsible for keeping things out of landfills, and that just wasn't really a good policy. It doesn't work. So the next slide is when we formed in 2008, our mission is to shift our product waste management system away from government and ratepayer financing universally to be one that relies more on producer responsibility. It's not only to drive down your costs as public agencies, but really we want to internalize this as the cost of doing business, and that will improve product design. When the industries have to pay for end of life, they rethink design, and we've got lots of examples of that, but I won't get into that today. But if you have any questions on that, I'm happy to answer them. So the next slide is just to let you all know, since I haven't been down there in so long, we've got a 14-member board at CPSC, five of whom are private sector. In fact, one of them was a producer of needles until recently, and he's just moved to the C4 board, C4 meaning under the IRS code. That organization, the new national organization, the National Stewardship Action Council, which I'll talk about later, it can do peer advocacy, just lobby, lobby, lobby. Can't do that with the C3. So, and I'll get into why we did that. But we're proud that we represent weight haulers. Republic is on our board. Marin Sanitary is on the board. Providence Hospital Chain. And we've had paint recyclers. We've had different ones cycle through. But we're very proud of that connection. Next slide. So, again, we have lots of different partners. Recology, the Small Haulers Association in California. And the next slide. We work very closely with CalRecycle, Camps Propane on our new 1-pound refillable gas cylinder project. I hope you've all heard of that. If you haven't, I'm going to talk a little bit about it. And in national parks and state parks where you've got a lot of camping and camp stoves, it really can cost a lot of money to build those 1-pound propane cylinders, which can now be refilled 12 years, new refillable types of those cylinders. So anyway, you can just see broad partners with lots of different private sector groups. Next slide. So this is a slide of the United States kind of showing where producer responsibility laws have passed, and clearly California is in the lead. But other states are as well, including Texas has an electronics bill that is a producer-run program. And in case anybody ever asks you, our state e-waste bill is the only advanced disposal fee run by government program in the country. Every single bill that followed, all 24 of them, are all producer-run programs. So ours was first, but it's also the only one that doesn't have producers sharing in the responsibility. Also, it doesn't cover peripherals or anything except CRTs. Next slide. So this is the different legislation that have passed. All were signed by Governor Schwarzenegger except for the last one, mattresses, which was Governor Brown. And Green Chemistry even is trying to get away from that chemical-by-chemical approach to regulation to a harmonized, more of a framework approach, which we'd like to get for producer-run programs at some point, but it's probably premature at this point until we really work out the kinks, make sure they're all working well, and then have a good model. Next slide. And feel free to interrupt me if I'm not being clear or I'm not aligning with the slide since I can't see which one I'm on. But so then I was going to talk about the national and state work that we've been doing that the local governments now can build on. So the next slide shows that CalRecycle has been going this direction now since 2007 when they announced support for producer-run programs. When they adopted Strategic Directive 5, it said they want cradle-to-cradle producer responsibility and to develop relationships with all the stakeholders to result in producer-financed and managed systems. That does not mean local government has no role or anybody else. It means that there's more of a sharing of responsibility, but the producers have the primary share. Next slide. And the primary responsibility lies with the producers or the brand owner because they make the design and marketing decisions. And that's where most of the cost for end of life is decided. As you know, at the back end, there's only so much we can do with what comes at us in the waste stream. Next slide. So just to give you a sense, since these bills have passed, about how much money is in the government's hands, I call producer responsibilities widely known as a smaller government approach. The reason that the government role is smaller, it's an oversight, accountability, and enforcement, and ensuring transparency of the system. But you can see our bottle bill for 3-4% of the waste stream is a $1.2 billion program managed by government, and I think you all know that when the budget's tight, they tend to sweep that account and borrow it. Electronics is a $90 million program, and so on. And then when you look at how much the government has in money for the two bottom programs for producer responsibility for paint and carpet, not even $300,000 a year. And that $300,000 is actually paid for by the manufacturers. So it takes all the costs off the government and puts them back into the product in the at the front end. So the paint program estimated cost statewide were $21 million when it was run by, been paid for completely at the back end by all of you and local government. Now that we have an APR program, it's the state cost is $261,000, and hopefully most of those hard costs are off of you guys. And I was looking at the PaintCare website. That was the second bill we helped pass. And it looks like there's three new locations in Cathedral City, two in Bermuda Dunes, two in Palm Desert, one in Palm Springs, at least that's the HHW facility. And then the county is getting reimbursed at the Joshua Tree and Big Bear locations. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah? So hopefully you guys are seeing some real cost savings now and making it more convenient for the public to recycle. That's our goal. So, did anybody have any comments on the PAPE program?
I recommend it to lots and lots of people, like regularly. So, I send people to PAPE Care, and we have it on our website. So, we
great.
Definitely use it.
Well, that's what we do, and that's what we do to help you. And we're trying to get more of these hazardous products, especially handled that way, like batteries. We really want to get that done this year, and sharp needles. Because they have no market, there's no market pull to get these things out, and if we don't have these programs, they just make it very expensive for OVA to manage. So the next slide is, again, we're trying to get to what we call cradle-to-cradle systems, where everything designed into the industrial system has a return loop and has a market, you know, some way to get it out. It's not just left to be landfilled. And the next slide kind of shows that product stewardship, you hear these terms thrown around, but product stewardship is a bigger universe. It's like anything a company for any reason might do to, you know, downsize or reduce environmental impacts. But extended producer responsibility is a legislated approach. But it is what we call a free market approach in that we don't tell the industries how to run a program. We let them write their own stewardship plans, and then they execute them with government oversight. But this is more to allow them to design the program, where it typically, like the bottle bill, it was all designed in the bill. Everybody was told how to do it. But government runs it. And it grew government by over 300 staff just to manage 4% of the waste stream. If you have any questions on that, I'm happy to take them later. Now, the slide on addressing multiple issues, I don't know if that slide is still, I think a PDF it then, so it shouldn't all be flying in because I think that one has pictures coming from every direction. But
yeah, it just flew in.
It really does address multiple things. It addresses greenhouse gas issues and resource issues and water quality. It depends on which product you're applying the policy to. So it can help solve a whole lot of problems when applied correctly into the right products. Next slide. So this is a slide of California, and all of the counties in yellow, which includes all the counties, are covered by an association that has a policy of supporting EPR, which includes the Association of Counties, League of Cities, and Borough Counties. But also now the U.S. Conference of Mayors just adopted their second resolution in support of this policy. I was there speaking in Chicago on Monday, and the National Solid Waste Management Association. Then all of the green counties have an additional resolution in support, and the cities in the orange dots, including your four cities of Inningwells, La Quinta, Palm Desert, and Palm Springs, have all adopted resolutions in support of this policy. So it now covers 67% of the population of the state. It's widely supported. So why don't we see more bills passing? Well, I'll get into that. Next slide. So what can you do to help this shift? And what tools do we have to give you to do that? So the next slide. Some tools that we have here, you know, the high bar would be if we can't get it done at the state level, for example, with needles. We've tried 2 years in a row. Industries come in and say there's no problem. If people get stuck on the sort line, you should be doing a better job of inoculation. Get more vaccinations of your staff, there's no problem. These are the kinds of arguments that we're literally hearing in the legislature. I still think if we had a lot of rich kids on the sort line, we would not have this problem because it would be a much higher elevated issue at this point. But I don't know if you guys have seen a lot of needle sticks down there in your material recovery facilities. but we've seen a lot up here. Are you having it too?
We've heard here and there. Chris has told me here and there, but also where we got it, I'm sorry, this is Michelle, is our parks. When they're dealing with trash in the parks, we get a lot of people concerned about needle sticks and our workers concerned about it because they just get thrown in there.
Well, in Canada, they have produced a rent program, and in Ontario, they passed it with the medicines. And in the first year of the program, it was just unbelievable how many needles they were getting back. They estimated over 90%. And they saw needle sticks plummet. So we know this can work, but the location where they set up the take-back program, the way they set up their program is in pharmacies for pills and needles, because that is where people come and go to get their pills and needles. It makes the most sense. But that's been a bill that's been hotly fought by the pharmaceutical industry itself and the needle manufacturers, except for Ultimed, which is the one out of the four remaining Sharps manufacturers that was on our board. And the reason they supported it was because they were the only company that was not traded on Wall Street. They were privately owned, and they had an investor that said, I'm not going to invest in the company unless you try to stop downstream needle sticks. So they actually invested in safety because of the investor. So anyway, you can adopt a resolution. You can adopt, you can look at putting EPR on your legislative platform, because that way it gives your lobbyists direct ability to support, for example, the battery and the Sharps bill that's coming this year, AB 1159. If you don't have that already or you want model language, just let me know. You can put it in procurement. So when you're procuring electronics, for example, Dell is a great company that takes back all their electronics and they make sure they don't end up overseas. Not many do that. They should get a preference for that because it costs a little more. But if they don't get the cost preference, they can't, or they don't have enough purchasers, they stop doing those things. So it's voting with your dollars. You can also get EPR into your zero waste plans or your solid waste planning documents. Of course, this doesn't apply in this case because we have a stewardship council in the state. I used this recently in another state. But you can also fund us. I mean, we do a lot of work, and I don't think I have anyone in Riverside County that's actually funding CPSC, just so you know. And you can also do local stewardship awards. Those awards we've developed at the state level. We've got the Golden Arrow and the Green Arrow for Design Change, Bow and Arrow for Partnership, and Infinity Arrow for Take Back. And you can copy them and do them with your local chamber. We have Sonoma do this. They put our logo and their logo on the awards at the annual ceremony, and it just the companies just love getting credit for the good things that they're doing locally. Like you could give awards to the retailers who are green to host the paint collection. Because I'll tell you, the big chains are not doing it. You know, there's no Home Depot taking back the paint. So we want to thank those stores that are doing those things. Next slide. So in the Air Awards this year, we give them every year at the CRA conference. We are very happy to give it, next slide, to one of them to Ipsen Pharmaceuticals. And it's actually based out of France, but they have employees here in California. Next slide. But they actually redesigned their needle for a cancer drug to be retractable so they don't have needle sticks in the healthcare environment. But they reduced the amount of hazardous solvents used to manufacture by 53 tons a year and did a lot on their packaging to greatly reduce packaging. And so there are companies out there doing good things, and we want to thank them and use them to hold them up as models to others. Next slide. And this is the Camps Propane We Gave Partnership Award. They've been working with us and other local governments to promote the new refillable one-pound gas cylinders. Next slide. So with a lot of parks, this might be an issue for you as well, where we can give you all of the materials and the PR that we've done, and you can retool it for your area. But we're seeing in national parks absolutely, you know, just tons of these one-pound gas cylinders. It's one of the few products where it's literally 80% of the product price is the package. And it's got a huge greenhouse gas footprint because it's metal. It's got to be melted again. So we now have Flame King out of L.A. actually designed these to be refillable. They can take multiple repressurizations legally. And we've even done a TV commercial. special with John Laird, who's the Secretary of Resources for California. It's on our website, calpsc.org. And if you would like to use that commercial, you can. It's a model, and we used at the very end a slide where you could show locally where people can buy, refill, or exchange those one-pound gas cylinders. And if you'd like to get more in your area to sell, refill, or exchange, we can either teach you how to do it and do recruitment, or we can do it for you if you'd like to work with us on that. Next slide. So some of the things that we provide for local governments like yourselves is, you know, we've got this very prolific website, lots of good data in there. I tell people it's more for the policy people and for the general public. So articles, newspaper inserts, social media, if you follow us on our Facebook page, we're posting at least four times a week. We've got a Don't Rush to Flush web page for our medicine collection program, which I'll talk about in a minute, and then the Refuel Your Fund campaign for the refillable gas cylinders, so you can follow us on social media. We also have been doing a lot of survey work, and I'll share the results of some of those, and fact sheets on international EPR programs. We just finished them a year ago for pharmaceuticals, and we learned that apparently Mexico just rolled out nationally their EPR medicine program, 3,700 pharmacy locations. These are the same companies that are telling us we can't do it in the U.S. where our drugs are 2 to 3 times higher. But our big, big thing is we want to promote redesigned products and making sure that governments are driving that with their purchasing decisions. Next slide. So we have a lot of education on that website, and I encourage you to look at it if you have any questions. Next slide. So this is our Don't Rush to Flush campaign. We actually got an award for this in the Sacramento's regional PR awards. We got the best service, public service announcement. If you want to use this, let us know. We will let folks use it at very discounted prices just to, you know, spread the word, and it's already been developed to a grant. But this is a program, Don't Rush to Flush, Meds in the Bin, We All Win. And we partner with local pharmacists, and we get them to a grant, and we get the grants to pay for the bin, then the retailer to host the bin, and then and pay for disposal. And then the counties and the locals do the PR. So it's sharing the responsibility with everybody except, unfortunately, the producer. But it's transitional to getting the producers in the game. Because the pharmacists really want something, because they get asked every day, you know, what do we do with our meds? Next slide. So I'm going to get into, quickly, a couple of little things. One is that we've been getting tons of national press about what's going on with pharmaceuticals. And the Supreme Court case that went, you know, all the way up because of Alameda. And this was my quote from the Examiner. Why is it fair to privatize 100% of the profits and socialize 100% of the costs? These are the same companies that don't like taxes, don't want fees, don't like big government, and we're offering them a program where they can write their own regulations. So what we're saying here is, if you're going to be regulated, this is the best way, because you get to design your program. Nobody's telling you how to do it. It's performance-based, which is what we usually hear is asked for. Next slide. So Roseville does a statistically valid survey every year. I don't know if any of your jurisdictions do this, but you can actually get some questions in there that might really help you make the case for, you know, some local action or state action. But Roseville asked their public, next slide, about medicines. And they found out that 86% of the people that responded are likely to use a take-back program or bins in pharmacies, per se. Next slide. So once they found that out, they looked at who should pay for that. And the first two groups were even at 32% each. And they said either 100% by the drug companies, and I don't know if you know Roosevelt, but they're fairly conservative, northeast of Sacramento. And then shared by all costs by all parties, 32%, which is really what any EPR program is, because even with pain, you'll know that you're not getting 100% of your costs covered. If you have a hazardous waste facility, they pick it up, and they take care of disposal, they take care of the public education, but they're not paying your overhead costs to collect it. So it really is a shared responsibility system. So to me, this means that 64% of people are saying they want EPR. They don't know what EPR is. But in their language, that's what that means. So that was good information. If you want to do a survey like that, let me know. I've got multiple questions that you can use. Next slide. And then the case studies we did for pharmaceuticals, we also looked at, you know, Portugal. We found out they've been running these programs. The producers pay the distributors and pharmacies. And 99% of the pharmacies voluntarily host a bin. And the reason that is when the producers have to pay for the bin and pay to advertise where they're located, what pharmacy would want to give that to their competitors? They want a host. So if they can figure out a way, they will. That's why we don't need to mandate that retailers be part of the program. Except for with paint, that's a whole other thing that we got to talk about because I'd like to see those big guys starting to host paint bins. Mexico, they've got the Singer program, and now that's gone nationwide, and again, paid for by the manufacturers. Next slide. And we've done, if you have any questions or you want to know what your public is doing on pharmaceuticals or sharps, we've done these Prescription for Change newspaper inserts in Marin, Sacramento, and San Mateo, and we're looking at maybe doing one in L.A., and they kind of have to teach the public about the issues around safe disposal of these products, and we each get local stories, like a local family that had a son that get addicted to drugs because they left them in the house. Or, you know, one of the workers in Sacramento was stuck by needles when he was recycling oil. Somebody had put all their needles in the oil because they don't know what to do with them. If you're interested in one of these, let me know. They're 68 pages long, packed full of great information, including where locally to take them back. Next slide. So this is the Refuel Your Fun campaign. So you can like this on Facebook and follow it. And we'd love to help you get some people to distribute the, and there's two manufacturers, one in LA, but there's also one on the East Coast, Manchester Tank, for Refuel Your Fun. And if you want to make your parks aware of it, use the slide deck. All of it was done with grant money. We're happy to share all of it. Next slide. And again, if you want to watch the PSA, it's really cute. It was done in English and Spanish. And we used the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts with Secretary Laird out in Santa Cruz to talk about the need for not littering these containers or throwing them in trash where they can actually explode. We did have one of those explode in Sunnyvale's Murph, and it burned up $8,000 worth of cardboard. Lucky nobody got hurt. Next slide. So EPR legislation. This is another tool the government has. It's obviously a big step, and it's the biggest one, so I would say it's legislation last. But, you know, next slide. If the state and the federal government fail to act and the industries are failing to do anything voluntarily, this is now a tool in the toolbox. And the example really is San Francisco EPR ordinance came after Alameda, and it was a better model. Next slide. So how did this happen? In July of 2012, Alameda County said, we're not going to wait for the state. We've got a huge drug abuse problem. We've got crime around it, water problems. We can't get it out. It's a treatment plant on their flush. So we're just going to make the manufacturers pay. We're just not going to wait anymore for everybody else. So they passed it with a 5-0 vote, and they got sued by the pharmaceutical associations, which is what they were told would happen. Next slide. A year after that, in 2013, King County, Washington, or Seattle, passed the same ordinance. They were also sued. Next slide. So then, the New York Times is where Pharma announced they were going to sue Alameda. And their quote was that the household trash can is a better and safer alternative. They did not win. Not a single judge ended up voting for them. And they based it on the Interstate Commerce Clause and said it wasn't fair between two businesses. But the truth is, no matter who sells into the county, it doesn't matter where they're located to make it. If they sell in the county, they're regulated, and it's not a violation of interstate commerce. That is what the Supreme Court said because they did not take up the appeal. Next slide. But if you're a policy wonk like me, I think this is probably the best 45 minutes of TV I've ever watched. I've watched it 3 times, and I see something different every time. But watching our 9th Federal Circuit Court judges and the lawyers for Pharma and for Alameda debate EPR was absolutely, it gave me the chills, because for the first time I heard these really smart legal minds debating the policy. And it was unanimous, and the most conservative judge wrote the opinion. And it was appealed, and again, it wasn't taken up. At the same time, next slide, we had Senator Hannibal Jackson actually introduce a state bill saying, you know, we should be doing the Alameda thing at the state level. Why are we waiting for locals to do it? But after all this fighting, she sent a letter out to every single, next slide, county in the state, and county supervisor saying, I think you should do an ordinance, just like the bag bans. And I know some of you down there passed them. Because at the state level, it's just being lobbied to death. And nothing's happening. So what's happened is since she sent that letter, next slide, there's been even more national press. I've been on national public radio with the pharma lobbyists and supervisor Monday. But then the county started following Senator Jackson's lead. Next slide. So the first county in California after Alameda had adopted the ordinance with a 10-0 vote, not a unanimous vote, San Francisco, that was in March of this year. Next slide. Then it was County San Mateo, the next biggest county right south of San Francisco, and that was in April with a 5-0 vote. Then, and by the way, that hearing started with the coroner saying they just lost another 21-year-old to prescription drug abuse, which really changed the mood of the whole meeting. Then the next slide, County Santa Clara adopted their ordinance with a 3-0 vote in May, just a week before the Supreme Court ruling came down. And it was too abstain because they have investments in pharmaceutical companies. Many people do with their mutual funds, etc. So May 26th, the appeal was denied by the Supreme Court. And then right after that, in August, next slide, Marin County passed the ordinance again with a 5-0 vote. So, you'll say, is anything coming to Southern California? Yes. Next slide. So the County of Santa Barbara took it up and had stakeholder meetings all summer. And they just, their staff recommended October 6th, they go forward with a sustainably funded producer-run program. And they're writing the ordinance now, coming back in February. And the next slide, it's a really big dog, is L.A. County. So they had the chair of the board, Mr. Antonovich, introduce the concept, and it was adopted 4-0. The staff should come back, have some stakeholder meetings, but they want it on both medicines and sharps. So now this is your neighbor. And it's a big discussion. And if anybody wants to attend those stakeholder meetings or follow them, let me know or you can email Kobe Sky at LA County because it's a very interesting process. And then the next slide, also Santa Cruz has introduced the concept. They're writing an ordinance on medicines and sharps as well. And they could have theirs done before LA County does. So this is, as you see, it's just kind of like popping, like almost every month another county is going. And so far, there's not been a single vote, no. Next slide. So I was just in Chicago last week speaking to the U.S. Conference of Mayors with the attorney who actually defended Alameda to the Supreme Court. And the only thing you need to know, and that I can tell you actually in this short period of time, is that he said, you're in very safe grounds. It was not a radical ruling. It followed standard law. And if it's but it has to meet the Pike balancing test, which in short means the cost of the program and the burden on industry must not outweigh the health and safety benefits provided by the ruling, because that is your authority for local agencies to protect public health. And the next slide should be the National Stewardship Action Council slide. So what's happened is, I just wanted to let you know, we formed a C4 organization, so I can now lobby across the whole country for either state, local, or federal rules on producer-run programs. The reason we did that is because we're being asked to help cities across the country do the same thing, and cities in California. But we can't lobby at three levels of government and be a C3 organization, more than we're allowed to do. So next slide, I would just say that the transition to producer-run programs should be done slowly, thoughtfully, and carefully. The marathon, not a sprint. But it's important work, and we need to get to the front end in terms of spigot off and work with manufacturers. What I always say, next slide, at conferences is we can't close the loop on materials until we close the communication loop from producers all the way back to those who handle the materials and then bringing them back to the front end of the system to be re-entered and enter the economic mainstream and a new product. So, with that, I hope if any of you are not on our listservs would like to be, I'd love to get an email from you. That's my email address, id@caltsc.org. And if you want to donate, get more engaged, we have monthly calls with local governments, we have a policy committee, we have even a small working group on how to make the best EPR ordinances for pharmaceuticals that we can. We'd love to work with all of you. So now I'll take any questions.
Heidi, would you allow me to send your presentation out to our group here?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Any questions for Heidi right now?
Heidi, this is Frankie of the City of Palm Desert.
Hi.
Hi. It sounds like it's in the, you know, just really getting off the ground, especially with the recent ruling. But do you think it would be better, or maybe it doesn't really matter, if individual jurisdictions start passing ordinance, or maybe more of a regional approach?
I think a regional, I mean, I always thought it made the most sense to do it national, then state, and then local, but when we aren't getting, you know, things done at the state level after 2 years of debate. And I can tell you that the support, just so you know, on the pharmaceutical, I call it the perfect storm because it's really less garbage of an issue, more of a water and a public health issue. But it brings in these unlikely bedfellows like police departments and DAs and veterinarians and doctors and hospitals and all these people coming together around this. And now we can elevate the discussion if we should pay for anything. But if we can't get it done at the state level, then I would recommend regional if you can. And I've been talking to Riverside County and Hans Kernkamp, and he's very interested in this. He started talking to his public health officer. If you're interested in helping them, and because some of you have passed ordinances, you might want to let Hans know that you would back him up if he goes this direction for the county.
Okay.
Because I think his biggest fear is that it would, you know, not be received well, or there would be some concern. If there's support for it, I'm sure that would help. But I know he asked me to speak at a conference next month. Unfortunately, I'm out on vacation, scheduled a long time ago. But he's very interested in this pharmaceutical issue.
Heidi, does he need letters of support? Like, could he send out an email to CBAG and get letters of support from us? Would that help?
I think if you wanted to let him know that you would have his back if he goes that direction, because I think he would be incredibly grateful, because that's just information for him that would help them make a decision.
Can you connect to us, like through CBAC? Can you have him connect with him?
I think, Benjamin, it might be helpful to have someone from the county come and make a presentation to us to get an update on what they're planning and stuff, so that then we would know, and then maybe that's something, because we would probably have to take it back to our council.
It would be really helpful to kind of see what that draft resolution would look like. I'm just kind of, hey, Moritz Martin, the City of Coachella, I'm kind of curious, so is this kind of similar to the plastic bag approach, where we would then hold local pharmacies responsible for making, and I'm kind of curious how this is,
going to play out.
How are, what
so what it looks like, I mean, in Alameda, I just got off the phone with them actually an hour ago, is that the producers will write a stewardship plan on how they are going to collect the medicines and how they're going to meet the goals set in the ordinance. And every ordinance we've learned something and come up with different ideas to make them tighter and tighter. So I'm actually going to be drafting a model ordinance for that's constantly being updated and improved on as we learn different things. But what they'll do is they'll go write their stewardship program plan, and then they submit it to the county. The county whichever agency they have designated, it's often either environmental health or public health, will review the plan and either approve it or disapprove it. If it's approved or they say conditionally approved based on some changes that need to be made, they go back, the industries come back and, you know, with a new plan. It's approved, and then they go off and do it. Alameda just had their first pill collection event paid for by pharma. They also have received a $10,000 check to pay for their oversight of pharma.
But it's
up to pharma. Like, their first plan, they used... And I can say in Santa Clara, they said every existing law enforcement agency or group that's locally paying for the bins must be compensated the day the ordinance gets into effect for fair compensation for hosting those bins. And they can't say no to them. So that what that does is it kind of grandfathers in the existing infrastructure if you want it maintained.
So I guess the part of the question is, if I'm wrong, correct me, is that, so the producer is going to, let's say, we're just talking, our sheriff's department, now we've implemented an ongoing prescription drug take-back program.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, we pay for it. So how are the producers going to pay for it? Who pays, and how does that process work?
Well, it's how they write it up in the plan, but you can just say, you know, you're basically going to submit them an invoice and say, for my labor and my bin disposal, I'm going to, or you just say in the ordinance, and then this is about how, you know, devil's in the details of ordinances. Do you tell them, is it fair, or is that your share that you're going to actually host a bin and not pay for the labor, or are you going to pay... have them pay labor and disposal. I personally believe, for law enforcement especially, they don't need any more burdens. I've never seen any country burden their law enforcement with this. I think they should have 100% of their costs covered. But for maybe pharmacies and others that have had bins, maybe they just pay for the PR and the disposal. It's however you write it. And what your community thinks is fair.
So
we're going to try and keep them aligned, you know, because if they get all too weird and different, that makes it more difficult for the industry to comply.
Okay, I guess I'm not quite understanding. So we have different drugs from different producers. So how are they going to pay?
So how they pay is how they do it all over the world, is they have what they call a black box room. So they first form a nonprofit organization just to run the program. And there's existing nonprofit organizations. You know, called the Recycle for Batteries?
Mm-hmm.
They actually want to start doing pharmaceuticals. They have submitted a stewardship plan in Seattle, Washington, that's better than the pharma plan. And I think it's the one that's going to get approved. They know how to do stewardship programs. And so, like, pain care turned into product care in Canada, and product care now manages 7 different product types. So you're going to start to see this in the U.S. too. And what they do is it's a very standard procedure. They look at sales, and they have every company submit, you know, for each month or each quarter, however they set it up internally, their business, how they do it. But they have a black box room where nobody outside that room is allowed to know because they're horizontal competitors. So you don't want your competitor to know what you're selling in any area. But they submit it to that black box room. That they crank out invoices based on market share.
I'm going to suggest that we agendize this for our next meeting for a deeper discussion because we're going on about 45 minutes of this presentation and Q&A now, and we still have another presentation. How would we like to handle this? We'll agendize it for our next meeting to discuss how we might do maybe a regional resolution and how we approach it.
And it would be helpful to get a draft of what that would be.
Get a draft resolution. Heidi, could you forward that on to Ben by any chance?
Some draft resolution that you would send to the county suggesting that you'd like them to start stakeholder meetings and discussions around this issue to consider an ordinance?
Yes, and an ordinance would be nice, too, to see some example ordinances.
They're all on our website, just so you know. I've put in the videos of the hearings, and they're really good to watch, especially for people like yourself who...
Could you send them on to Ben so he can send it to the whole group? Because that's how we work. We disseminate through Ben. So that would be the best, most helpful way, so no one forgets, oh, I didn't go to... If we do it in our orderly fashion.
I'll do it right now, and I'll see Ben on. So he knows, because I told him I was going to talk to you guys.
That's what we need.
Thanks.
That's exactly what we need. Okay,
perfect.
So if there's not any other questions, we'll move on to our last presentation because we're running about half an hour behind or so. Any other
questions? Thank you for letting me go.
Oh,
sorry about
that. No, we're grateful. Everyone's really excited and interested. It's obvious.
Yay! All right. Well, thank you again. You guys have a great rest of the meeting, and I'll send the email to Ben.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi.
Okay. That was really, really interesting. We'll move on to 7D now, which is the used oil program update with April. What, April's not?
April's
not. Oh. And Haley. Oh, and Haley. Hello. Thank you for being here. And thank you for waiting. I apologize for that.
Thank you. Again, April Hilario, HFNH consultant. Debbie Morris couldn't be here today, but I'd like to introduce Haley Cooner, our new colleague to HFNH. She will be assisting us with the 2016 oil events, and many of you have already corresponded with her. Today, I'll be talking about the 2015 used oil event results and what to expect for 2016. So in 2015, we continued to publicize the used oil events in the participating cities' web calendars, local news event calendars like KPSP and KSQ, and also advertise on 5 different radio stations, including Kuna Spanish Radio, KDES Oldies, Eagle, KJMB Life, and Jack FM. We expanded our presence in Coachella Valley by sending additional event flyers to the Lucas Oil Speedway in Blythe, flyers to the college students at the College of the Desert, and also in the Coachella Valley Water District lobbies, where they place the flyers in their 3 lobbies. We were trying to get the word out using social media, so we asked the city of Coachella to advertise the event and the winners of the drawing contest on the city's Facebook page. This year, we used drawings from the past CVAG used oil drawing contest to create a used oil awareness recycling calendar, and this features colorful artwork and useful used oil facts, and we distributed 2,000 copies to the participating cities. Also new this year was we worked with the City of Coachella Water Utility Department to include an insert in the utility bill, and that was sent to 8,700 residents. It was relatively cheap. It only cost about $300, which is about 3 cents per insert. We continue to maintain our relationships with the 3 school districts, the College of the Desert, Kuna Spanish Radio, AutoZone, and new this year, we worked with O'Reilly for 2 of the events. We invited the top 3 winners to the first used oil event in March, where they got to see their artwork in the AutoZone store, and also got to see everyone lined up to bring their used oil and filters. They also got to speak on Kuna Radio, and the best part is that they know that their artwork has made a difference in their community. And thank you, Cathedral City, for donating the backpacks and art supplies. Also, the first place winner and her family were honored at the CVAG Executive Committee in April 2015, where Camila received an award from CVAG. Now, here are the results. This year, we've collected the most amount of filters we've ever collected in the 9 years we managed this contract. We collected a record-breaking 1,742 filters, which is a 44% increase on last year. We also collected 2,800 gallons of oil. At each event, we asked a series of questions. Here are the results. We asked, is this your first event? 60% said yes, which means we're still educating new residents about our used oil program. When asked how they heard about the event, radio stations continue to be our key advertising strategy, followed by in-store promotions by the auto employees. We also know that people are positively talking about the Use Oil event because 10% hear about our event through word of mouth. When asked, did you know oil filters are recyclable? We're seeing this trend. Last year, 29% said no, but this year, only 21% said no. So this is a positive trend, and we hope to get this number lower next year. So now we know that residents are becoming more aware of proper filter recycling habits. And virtually 99% of participants do know that oil is recyclable. Here are the demographics. This year, 87% of the participants were male, 13% were female. Majority of the participants were over the age of 46. 91% were Hispanic, 8% were Caucasian. And we had a total number of 652 event participants, which is 17% more than last year. So this is our budget for 2016. We have about $107,000 in grant funds for 2016. We plan to spend $79,000 in 2016, which leaves about $102,000 for the next year. And here's the detail of our expenditures for 2016, and it includes the usual promotional items like the drainer containers, shop rags, all the advertising costs. And each year we evaluate our expenditures to find ways to save costs. So for next year, we'd like to switch from spending $1,700 for each radio remote to only $500 for the radio commercials. But we'll keep the radio remotes for the two Coachella Use Oil events because they bring the most amount. They're very cost effective. Each Coachella event brings about 600 filters. And since the average person brings in two oil filters, we are going to limit the number of free filters to two per person. That way we'll have enough grant money for future years. What's new for next year? We'd like to encourage more city advertising, especially in utility bills and social media. Cities nowadays have their own Facebook, their own Twitter accounts, so do fire departments, police departments, and local news stations. So we'd like to build an online presence this year. And CPAG currently has a 5-year oil payment program resolution that expires in June 2016. So we are currently drafting a new 5-year resolution that will be brought to the CPAG committee in April. And we need this new resolution passed in order to apply for the 2017 oil program application. Next steps are to finalize the 2016 Use Oil events. We're currently working with O'Reilly and AutoZone corporate offices to approve the dates. And next, we'll initiate the elementary school drawing contest. We'll obtain the quotes for the flyers, posters, and promotional giveaway items. And after we choose the winner of the drawing contest, we'll design the event flyers and order the promotional giveaway items. Any questions? Thank you. I'm looking forward to next year because it's always fun seeing the community come together to recycle. And thank you for allowing HF&H to organize these events.
Cool. Thanks,
Mark.
Thank you.
Okay. So if there's no questions then for April, we'll move on to, I don't believe we have a legislative update.
No.
And then, so item 8, we're tabling and... Item 9, announcements, and first we'll deal with the next meeting schedule. I'd like to suggest meeting in December if possible, since we have a few things we'd like to...
Don't we usually meet every other month?
We haven't.
We meet quarterly.
We meet quarterly.
Yeah. Do you guys find it necessary to have a meeting in either late November or early December?
No.
Not enough
info.
Our next one will
January.
Well, what is our quarterly meeting? When is what's
January.
Our usual schedule?
January will be the next meeting.
April.
Normal meeting.
Okay.
October.
Stay on our same schedule then. I don't for me.
Okay. So you don't want to meet earlier.
Okay,
so in January.
Yep.
And any announcements that anyone has at this time?
Is it the third usually the third?
No, it's
Monday.
The second.
Second Monday?
Yes.
Yes. So that's the second Monday in January. Will that work for everyone?
Still work for everybody, as far as we know. Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
And lastly, any announcements from anyone? I just have one.
I did one.
We have our Healthy Planet, Healthy You Race and Wellness Festival. It's on Sunday, February 24th. Lots of booths and education and also a chance to get fit and healthy. I'll pass those this way, if you'd like to go.
I have a golf cart parade that I can't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not a large education, but this is free for kids. The 1K is free for kids, and they get a medal, and we do a lot of waste education there. We have the bathrooms there promote reusable bags.
Yeah,
Halloween.
Bag monster.
It should be Halloween.
You should be the bag monster, Ben. Anything else from anyone before we adjourn? Do you have a motion to adjourn?
Yeah, is it okay to motion to adjourn?
We can just adjourn.
You can just.
Oh, usually we motion to. Well, then we're adjourning.